And then let me say this to you. You know, anytime you do any message, is always important to you. Of course, not easily important to you, it's important to the people that hear it. If it truly is the Word of God, then that's life-changing and something that we ought to perk up our ears to and listen closely and attentively to. But, you know, you work on a message, you pray over a message, you do the message, and then after you do it, sometimes you discuss it at lunch, and sometimes it rolls over in your mind for 2 or 3 days, and it's always important, always important. But here's something I want to do this morning that I very rarely do. I only do this maybe once every 4 or 5 years. And that is to say this to you. If you were not here last Sunday morning, or if you didn't hear the message, because sometimes people aren't here, but they watch us live, or sometimes people go back and watch it. But if you did not hear last Sunday morning's message, then go back and hear that. The title of the message was Don't Hate Your Mother-in-Law. But that was based on John, where he said, if anybody hates his brother or his sister, you know, he's a murderer, and he doesn't even have eternal life in him. And so the message, the full message was, don't hate your brother, your sister, don't hate your mother-in-law, don't hate anybody. But you really, really need, and you know, if that helps just one person go back that didn't hear it, go back and listen to that, because that'd be a blessing to you, and it's something that you need to live by and recognize every single day of your life. Amen? Praise God. Well, how many of you are ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to read verses 3 through 9. Hallelujah. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Praise God. Matthew 13, verse number 3. Then he, that's Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, and as he sowed, rather, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they have no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And I read all of that just to get to verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, he who has ears to hear, he who has ears to hear. I mean, if you want to hear the Word of God, if you're hungry for the truth, if you desire to know what God's Word says about your marriage, about your mind, about your finances, about your children, about how you should live, about how you should act, about what you should believe, about what you should not believe. If you have ears to hear, that means you have an open heart, you have a receptive heart, and you respond to that which you hear. So if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody say, let him hear. And that this expression, he who has ears to hear, is found 8 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's always at the end of it. Every time you find that expression, let him hear, it always has an exclamation point on the end of the sentence. Let him hear. In other words, this is let him hear, exclamation point. This is of importance. This is of major importance. You need to really listen to what I'm saying to you here. Amen. Now, he who has ears to let him hear is found 4 times in connection with the parable of the sower sows the seed. You know, I read that later on in this chapter. We're not going to go into that, but later on in this chapter, you know, Jesus explains that to them. And of course, you and I know what the general major story is there of the sower sows the seed. It's all about sowing the Word of God into your heart. Because if the Word of God gets into your heart and it stays in your heart and you understand it, you comprehend it, you have a revelation of it, you don't let the devil steal it from you. You don't let the circumstances of life steal it from you. You don't let the pressures of life steal it from you. You don't let the other interests and the cares of this life and the pursuit of other things steal that Word. If that Word gets in your heart and where you believe it, glory to God, and it stays in your heart, then no devil in hell can keep that Word, whatever that Word is, from producing a wonderful harvest of blessing in your life. Amen. So, and we know that. We recognize that. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So when the Word gets in your heart, it will produce, if the Word of healing gets in your heart and stays there, it will produce healing in your body. If the Word on any subject, amen, gets in your heart, then you'll act on that word. You'll be a doer of the word. Glory to God. And if you act on and know how to act on and you believe right concerning your marriage, concerning being a parent, concerning your finances, concerning your mind, or any other subject, then you will be blessed in that area. Praise God. Amen. You'll be successful in that area. Glory to God. And so Jesus says, then Jesus said this, you remember this about this parable? Jesus said this, he said, if you don't understand this parable, the parable of the sower sows the word. In other words, if you don't understand how that sowing the word in your heart works and produces a harvest in your life, if you don't understand this parable, then how will you understand any of the parables that I speak? And I want to suggest to you this morning that in essence, Jesus is saying, you won't understand, you won't believe, and you won't live by not just any parable, but you won't understand any of my word. You won't understand any of my teachings if you don't get this. If you don't get this. Are you following me? Amen. Because you see, having ears to hear, see, he said that in connection with this parable, having ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Having ears to hear is the key to understanding and comprehending and getting a revelation of the truths of God's word. And when you really get the word in your heart and you really understand it and you get a revelation of it, glory to God, because you do these things that we're going to talk about in a minute, then and only then will it make a difference in your life. See, it won't make any difference in your life, and you won't believe what it says, and you won't overcome the troubles of life if you just casually hear the word of God every once in a while and don't pay much attention to it. It just goes in one ear and out the other. And you remember, oh yeah, I remember somebody preached on that 4 years ago. Well, if you're not living by it, does it make any difference in your life? You can read a proverb a day, but if you don't remember what you read 2 days later, is it making any difference in your life? But if you just take one verse out of the book of Proverbs and you meditate on that verse and you study that verse, and it explodes as a divine revelation on the inside of you, and it's at the forefront of your thinking, and you remember what that verse says when you go out and face life and deal with people. You know, one verse says that a soft answer turns away wrath. If you remember that and you practice that and you live by that, then it makes a difference in your life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you just casually hear the word and then forget what it says, or if you hear the truth and you don't respond to it, or you hear it and you reject it and you believe the traditions of men instead of the word of God says, then it's not making any difference in your life. Amen. And it won't make any difference in your life unless you have ears to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Because when you hear it and you hear it continually, and you take it to heart, and you internalize it, and you personalize it, and you comprehend it, and you believe it, and you act on it, and you obey it, then it's life-changing. Glory to God, which is what it's intended to be, life-changing. And so when Jesus is talking about he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, I want you to understand something here. The words let him hear mean at least four things. I mean, I'm talking about if you look up the word hear, the definition of it in the Greek, if you understand and realize that the second word hear, you know, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. The second word hear is what's called the linear active in the Greek, which means it's continuous, or in other words, it's simply written in the continuous sense. So every time you read this expression, he that has ears to hear, you could properly interpret this. He that has ears to hear, let him keep on hearing. You can't live off yesterday's manna. It won't do you any good. You got to keep on hearing. You got to keep on attending to it. Amen? Praise God. So when you look up the Greek tense of the words here, when you look up the very definition of the words, it means at least four things. Number one, as I just said, it means to continually hear or keep on hearing. Continually hear or keep on hearing. How many of you know you can't just wash the dishes one time then forget about it? Oh, yeah, I did that one time. Well, no, you're going to be in a mess if you only do it one time. You got to give attention to those dishes every time they get dirty. Amen. Praise God. It also means, number two, it means to listen very carefully and attentively. That's the definition of the word here. You listen carefully and attentively as opposed to just casually. It means, number three, it means to be willing to respond to what you hear. So number one, it means to continually hear or keep on hearing. when he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. It means to, number two, to listen very carefully, seriously, meditatively, and attentively. And number three, it means to be willing to respond to what you hear, to obey what you hear, to live by what you hear. And number four, it means to comprehend or get a revelation of what you hear. He that has ears to hear, let him keep on hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing, closely and attentively. Be willing to respond to what you hear. And just keep on hearing and keep on hearing until you really understand, until you really get it, until it explodes as a divine revelation in your heart. Amen. And you see, in this same passage, Jesus also talks about seeing, and he uses that expression symbolically in the exact same way he uses hearing. You know, let's just read that in verses 14 through 16 here. Chapter 13, verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts, so that I should heal them or deliver them or make them free. The idea is that eyes that really see and ears that really hear pay close attention to God's word. You don't let it go in one ear. All of these four things we just mentioned, you don't let it go in one ear and out the other. You pay attention to it. Amen. You honor it. You respect it. Glory to God. You comprehend what you're hearing. You understand what you're hearing. And you get a revelation of what's being said. Therefore, you believe it and act on it and live by it and obey it. So again, the opposite, because we learned that way, you know, the opposite of what we're talking about here is just to casually, occasionally hear the word, not really dig into it, not really study it, not really hear what's being said, just hear it but ignore it because it interferes with something you don't want to quit doing or something you don't want to start doing. And you can even agree with it, you know, and say, well, yeah, I know that's in the Bible, but not live by it, not obey it. That's the opposite of what he's talking about. So you could really apply this scripture, he that has ears to hear, you can tag that on any scripture you read in the Bible. Any command, any precept, any instruction that God gives us, any word of God, you could just tag that on the end. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He that has ears to hear, let him really hear and understand and comprehend and believe and act on and live by that principle. Glory to God. Amen. By his stripes you were healed. He that has ears to hear, let him really hear what that's saying. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And just on and on and on and on, whatever it's found in the Word of God. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And this concept, this principle and aspects of this concept are found throughout the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. In other words, for instance, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, that's written in the continuous sense, and hearing by the Word of God. So then faith comes by continually hearing the Word of God. Faith comes when you have ears to hear. That's what that's talking about, praise God. And when we keep on hearing, then sooner or later, we will understand and comprehend and get a revelation of what we're hearing, and then we have faith to receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in James chapter 1, you know, everybody knows that scripture. James says, it's the doer of the Word that's blessed. If we do what the Word of God tells us about being a father, men, then we are a successful father. We are a blessed father, and we're a blessing to those around us. If we do what the Word of God tells us to do about being an employee or about being an employer, then we're blessed. If some people say, well, I don't even know what the Word of God says about that. Well, you know, he that has ears to hear, see, let him hear. Go find out what it says. Meditate in it. Study it. Get a revelation of it. Then live by it. About our thought light, about being faithful, about serving others. Anytime we're a doer of the word in a particular area, then we will be blessed in that area. But here's what James goes on to say, or says, you know, preceding that, and I'm just going to paraphrase here. He says, listen, you have to continually look into the word and keep it in front of you. If you don't continually, it's like a mirror. You can glance at it and walk away and you forget what you look like. You know, but you got to continually look. When you were getting dressed this morning, you didn't just do a casual glance. You were back there, oh, look there, I need to fix that. I need to get that out of my tooth. I need to, you know, get rid of that hair. I need to comb that. I need to lay that hair down because it was important to you. That's some people's problem. The Word of God is just not that important to them. That's not true of you, however. Say, that's not true of me. So James says, listen, you got to continually look into the Word. You got to keep it in front of your face. You got to really see who, I'm paraphrasing, you got to really see who you are in Christ. You got to see the liberty that is yours in Christ. You got to really believe and know what the Bible says about you, because it's then you'll act on it. Then you'll live by and obey it. And he says, if you don't do that, if you just casually look into the Word of God, you'll forget what it says and you'll be self-deceived and you won't be a doer of the Word. And when you're not a doer of the Word, then you won't be blessed. Another example, John 8:31-32. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me, let me give you another word for abide. If you continue in me. To abide means to remain, to continue. Not just something you do every once in a while, but you continually do this. If you continue in me, then you are my disciples indeed. And if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the knowledge of the truth shall make you free. The truth in and of itself won't make you free. It's knowledge of the truth that makes you free. How do you have knowledge of the truth? Because you continued in the word. You had ears to hear. Amen. So if you continue in his word, you shall know the truth, and the knowledge of the truth shall make you free. In other words, you'll know the truth and it will make you free and it'll keep you free when you have ears to hear and continue to hear. I like something along these lines that I read, another application, but something I read by Reverend Bob Yandian, because I identify with this as a pastor, you know, of all these years, and unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people grow and experience wonderful blessings, but I've also seen this, and it's heartbreaking in a way, but he said this. He says, I've seen many people who started attending church and listening to the Word and attending seminars because they were in crisis. Well, that's okay. Most of us came to God in crisis, but don't get out of the crisis and forget God. Just keep on living for God. Amen? And he says, because they started to get into the Word, their problems turned around and answers began to come. But then they slacked off the Word. The Word was needed only while they were in crisis. They treated God like a genie in a bottle. They rubbed the Word like the bottle, and when they got their wishes, then they put it back into the bottle until they needed it again. But the Word doesn't work that way. Jesus said, if you continue in the truth shall set you free. I like to think of it this way. Not only does the Word make you free, the Word can keep you free if you will continue in it. God doesn't want to just heal you. He wants you to walk in health. Healing can come through gifts of the Spirit or somebody else's faith, but divine health comes from walking in the Word. In other words, for yourself. Continuing in the Word. 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. Amen. And then let's look at this one, because this is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God, found in Proverbs chapter 4. This is another application of he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And we've talked on this a lot of different ways over the years. I want to kind of say it a little different this morning to hopefully strike your thinking. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. Spirit of Prophecy talked about light and life this morning. Amen. The light of God. God will give you light and life. For they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. That's why verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of your life or the actions of your life. Amen. Glory to God. So I've always liked the way that this is brought out. To give attention to something is to put it first, because this is something that you've got to do right now. You've got to do this. I've got to attend to this. You know, this literally happens. Sometimes Tony's around and he'll ask me to lunch, or I'll ask him to lunch, and he might say, well, I want to go, but I've got to attend to something. I've got to go do this first. And we'll say, well, the heck with it. No, we'll say, well, we'll just wait. How long is that going to take you? You know, say, well, I'll be ready. Instead of going at 11:30, let's just go at 1. Okay, go attend to that. See, that means he's got to put it first. And that's part of the what it means to attend to something. It means you got to put it first. It needs to be put first. It needs attention. Glory to God. Amen. And then to give attention to something implies that you have to do it over and over and over again. You know, if you attend to your lawn, John has a beautiful lawn at his house. You know, he doesn't just cut it one time and forget about it. No, it has to be mowed over and over again. He actually pays for a little service to come out and, you know, do things to his yard and all that kind of stuff. I don't. That's why my yard doesn't look like his. But I do by doing cut it, or my neighbor sometimes cuts it for me. He's a blessing. Glory to God. But you have to do it over and over again. Amen. Like I said, dirty dishes must be attended to. But they don't stay clean. You have to attend to them again and again and again. Amen. When you sow the word into your heart, you always reap more than you sow. What a blessing. And you got to get it in there and you got to protect it and it'll produce a harvest. But you just don't sow it one time. It's not like a smallpox shot, you know. It's not a one-time shot will do you. You got to continually feed on the word of God. You got to continually water the same truths that you've heard over and over and over again. There is no such thing as a harvest without watering the seed. Some people just plant the seed and forget about it. Try that in the natural. It won't work. Now you got to take care of that seed. And when you hear the same truth being taught over and over again, when you read the same truth over and over again, you're watering the seed. Are you listening to me? You have to continually sow the word in your heart and you have to keep on hearing. Your mind doesn't, Brother Hagin used to say, your mind doesn't stay any more renewed than your hair stays combed. You don't just comb your hair one time, that's the end of it. For your mind to stay renewed, you have to work at it. You have to continue to put the right things out and kick the wrong things out. I like that. You know, I begin to think of that in these terms this week. You know, you take captive the wrong thought. You put that wrong thought in jail. And then it says pulling downs or casting down strongholds. Words pulling down and casting down are the same exact Greek words. And they don't mean to just like you pull down the shades. They mean to totally demolish and destroy. So you don't play around with these thoughts. So when the wrong thought comes, you take it captive, you put it in jail, and this is what I was thinking of last week. You put it in jail, you put it in prison, then you blow up the prison. Glory to God, hallelujah. You just demolish it. Amen, hallelujah. So this says give attention to God's word. You give attention to it because you want to hear what it says. I want to know what the word of God says I should do when you treat me ugly. I know what I want to do, but what does God say I should do? I want to know what the Word of God says about my relationship with my wife, about my finances, about my mind. I'm hungry for the truth. I know what the world says about child training, but what does God say about it? I know what the world says about LGBTQ, but what does the Word of God say about it? I know what's popular at the moment, but I want to know what God says. I want to know the truth. Hallelujah. So I attend to His words. And then you incline your ear. Bend down some trace. So you ever see somebody go, what'd you say? Wait a minute. You ever watch a movie and you say, what'd they say? I don't know. Modern technology. We can back it up. We can turn on closed captioning. Because sometimes we back it up and play it about five times and we still don't know what they said. But we'll back it up further and turn on closed captioning and we'll lean in and listen. Oh, I got it. That's how you have to be with the Word of God. You incline your ear. Why? Because you're interested. Because you want to know. You want to comprehend. You want to really get it. You want to understand. Glory to God. In other words, you put effort into hearing what's being said. That's what it means to listen attentively and carefully. And then it says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't let God's Word depart from your eyes. The implication is don't look at other things. Only look at the truth. Only look at what God's Word says. Continually look at what God's Word says. Not what worldly philosophies say. Not what the Democrats say, especially them. Not what the Republicans say. Just look at what the Word of God says. Amen. And keep hearing and keep looking until you comprehend it. Until it explodes as a divine revelation in you. And if you'll do that, those things regularly and continually, then verse 21, the latter part will be true in your life. You'll keep them in the midst of your heart. They'll stay in the midst of your heart. That's kind of like the sower sows the word. It'll get in there and it'll stay and it'll be watered and it'll be protected. And you never let the cares of this life steal it away. You never let the pressure of some trial steal it away. You never let the devil steal it because you didn't understand it. You didn't reject it in order to keep the traditions of men, but it stays alive in your heart and then it produces a harvest. It is. Let him that has ears to hear. let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. Now, let me just show you how this works, because I think that's important. Look at you know Philippians 4:19. Let me quote that to you. Philippians 4:19. This is a good one to talk about. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. Read that scripture in my devotional. Isn't that beautiful? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. No. What does that mean? I'm going to study that prayerfully. I'm going to consider that attentively. I'm going to meditate on that scriptures. I'm going to look it up in other Bible translations and see the way they translated. I'm going to look up those words. Everybody has the ability to do that. Amen. And I'm just going to roll that over and over in my heart and mind. And so I'm going to think, and my God. And my, wait a minute, my. He may be your God, but he's my God. God, Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth. My God. Glory to God. Shall. That means he will do it. You cannot say anything stronger than I shall or I will do something. That's as strong as you can get. My God, the creators of the heavens and earth says he will supply. Oh, and I like that word supply, because I've looked that up in the Greek, and I know that word supply means fill to the brim. It means fill to the top. It carries with it the idea so that there's nothing lacking whatsoever. In other words, it's running over. It's a, my God shall liberally supply, in other words. He shall fill to the top. So he shall cram to the full. It's plenty. It's abundant. It's a full measure. It's a rich measure. That's why the Amplified Bible says, and I know that because I'm studying this scripture out, says God will liberally supply and fill to the full. Glory to God. And my God shall liberally supply all of my need. Not just some of them, but all of my need, according to his riches and glory. Praise God, your daddy may love you, your mama may love you, and they're trying to help you in life, and they're trying to give you wisdom, and they're trying to help you financially, and they're trying to help you in a lot of different ways. But as much as they love you, they have a limited ability. They have a limited supply. They have limited power. They have limited wisdom. But Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that are in them, said, you know, he will liberally supply everything you need according to his riches. There's no limit, no power limit. No. He has infinite power, infinite ability, infinite wisdom and strength, and he shall supply infinite funds, and he shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by or because of Christ Jesus. You study that out, read that, meditate on it. It means because you are in union with Christ, and because of everything that Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And so you just think on that and you meditate on that, and some little need pops up and tells you that you're not going to be able to pay your bill, or you're going to go under, or you're not going to make it, and you just smile and shout, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It makes a difference in your life because you believe it, and you act like it's true, and you don't worry that it's not true because you've taken the time to get that revelation in your heart, and it makes all the difference in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's look at another one. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's not just receiving the blessings of God. You know, yes, I want to receive the blessings of God. Yes, I want to overcome the trials and troubles of this life. But I want to be Christ-like. I want to obey God. I want to do whatever he tells me to do. Well, you can't obey him if you don't know what he's telling you to do. Hallelujah. You got your Bible there? Let me see Romans chapter 8. Have a word for you. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Does he dwell in you?
Yes.
This is Romans 8. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. God gives, the Spirit of God is giving life to your mortal body in the name of Jesus, through His Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. Ever think about that? That's a healing scripture. Amen. Ever thought about that? He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this is such a, you know, if you're really going to do this properly, then you're going to have to meditate on and look at and hunger for and, you know, have ears to hear all of what's being said. But in verse number 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And in verse number 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Somebody says, you know, the Bible tells wives to submit to their own husbands. That's right, it does. Actually, the verse before that says, submitting to one another in the holy reverence and fear of the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. But the Bible talks a lot about submission. You know why people have trouble with wives submitting to their husbands? Because they have trouble with the word submission, period. We're all called to submit. We're called to submit to one another. We're called to submit in a lot of different ways. To submit to those over. We're all in authority. We're all under authority. Amen. And submission is a beautiful thing, and it works perfectly when you understand. Don't want to go deep into that, but you know, we submit as to the Lord. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to get into that. But people say, well, wives got to submit to their husbands. Yeah, but husbands are told to love their wives just like Jesus loved the church. That's his part. And I'm telling you, if he's loving you like Jesus loved the church, then you don't have any problem yielding to him and lovingly submitting to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I just want to make the point that it says, wives, you know, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And so, you know, it goes on. You know, if you're going to read these scriptures, it says that husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves. They're to care for their wives and nourish their wives and cherish their wives and protect their wives just as Christ nourishes and loves and cares for and cherishes, nourishes and cherishes the church. Well, how does Christ love the church? Well, you start meditating on that and thinking about that and see what the Spirit of God does for you. See what you see. Glory to God. But here's what I just want to use as an example of what we're talking about here. You get down to verse 33 and it says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and if the wife see that she respects, that's a synonym for the word submit, see that she respects her husband. So you read this and, you know, because if you're going to have ears to hear, then you're going to study this out. Again, you're not just going to casually hear it. You're going to hunger for the truth. You're going to respond to it. You're going to do whatever it tells you to do as a husband. You're going to do whatever it tells you to do as a wife. You're going to get a revelation of it. You're going to let the Spirit of God make it real to you in your own heart concerning your particular marriage and so forth. And so, but verse 33 is the conclusion. And because I've, you know, read this and studied this out, I actually like the first part of verse 33 from the New Amplified. And I like the second, which is instructions to the husband. And I like the instructions to the wife in verse number 33 in the Amplified Classic. So verse 33 in the New Amplified says, I think we have that, says, however, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. That's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, husbands, if you do that, then you are doing your part. If you meditate on those scriptures, and this is just one passage on husbands and wives, but if you find out what the Word of God says, this is a summation, you'll find out that this is what it tells you to do. It's so good, I'm going to read it again. Without exception, is to love his wife, just like Jesus loved the church, as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. Now the second half, and I don't know if we have the Amplified Classic back there, but the Amplified Classic says, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him and praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Ooh. But if you look up the words and meditate on it, allow the Spirit of God to help you. Anytime you're told to submit to anybody, to submit to somebody, you necessarily have to respect them. You honor them. Amen. You do defer to them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you esteem them. You don't want to submit to somebody that you don't do. Now, you should do it by faith, whether they deserve it or not. But see, when the husband really does his part, and he will not do his part unless he has ears to hear. And if the wife does her part, and she will not do her part unless she really has ears to hear. But when the husband does his part, when he lives by that and practices that in daily life, and the wife does her part and lives by that and practices that toward her husband, then glory to God, then you're going to produce a harvest of a beautiful, beautiful marriage. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So, if you have ears to hear, and you just do that with anything in the Word of God, you do that with Scriptures on healing. You do that with Scriptures on your finances. You do that with Scriptures on your child training. You go to the Word of God and you have ears to hear. Find out what God's Word says. Respond to it. Dig into it. Meditate on it. Study it out. Keep on hearing it. Protect it. Don't let other things, don't let the cares of this life and the pleasures of this life, don't let all of those things come in and steal the Word of God. Amen. Don't let the traditions of men steal the Word of God. Don't let the philosophies of men steal it, but you protect it, then it will get in your heart, and it will always produce a harvest. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. You'll become Christ-like. You'll believe what you read. Sometimes people don't believe not because they're hard-hearted, but they're just overwhelmed by their problem. But you'll become Christ-like. You'll believe it. You'll overcome it. You'll overcome the tests and trials of this life. You'll receive the promises of God, and you'll be a big old blessing to other people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I have ears to hear. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Ears that really hear and comprehend and live by and put into practice the truths of God's Word. Glory to God. If you continue in the Word, you shall know the truth. And when you know the truth, why do you know the truth? Because you've been continuing in the Word. Then, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and the truth shall keep you free. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah. Because how many of you believe that Philippians 4:19 is true, that God shall liberally supply all of your need according to His riches and glory? Why don't you just lift your hands and praise God that that's true for you in your life? That's true in your life right now. Praise God, that's true in your life right now. My God liberally supplies, fills to the full. There is no lack. I resist lack. I refuse lack. My God supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. And I praise Him and thank Him for that in the name of Jesus. I believe that. I act like that's true. I live by that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I tell you something that's it's not really unrelated, but a little bit. When I was looking at Lois Meyer, 106, almost 106 years old, and sleeping on a concrete floor when she's 82, and as this church has gone along over the years, we have a lot of people come here now that are older. I'm talking about 65 and up, and 70 up, and 75 and up, and 80 up. And last week when I was visiting my mother, she was in the rehab part of the nursing home, and is transitioning over into the nursing home because she needs constant care, and she's getting close to 91. But we were there at a table, and the guy that does rehab, he didn't have anything to do with lunch or anything, but he just helpful because he's concerned about the patients in there and so forth. And he said, well, come over here. He said, I want you, sisters, or she didn't say sister, but he said, Miss So-and-so will be over there. Go over there and sit by her. She needs somebody to sit by her. And so we roll my mother in there, and she sit by her, and we sit there, and this lady was real soft-spoken and real quiet and a nice lady. But she didn't, I asked her how old she was because I would have thought she was 85, 95. I said, how old are you? And she said, I'm 73. And I began to look around the room and I see people over there and around. And I said, gosh, there's lots of people in here that are younger than I am. So I had this impression in my heart, and it wasn't just a thought. I know this is by the Holy Ghost, so I want to say this to you if you're 74, if you're 82, if you're older than 82. There's people here that you might be dealing with some age-related issues, but you are dealing with them. You are standing true on the Word of God. You resist those things that try to attack your body. Amen. And you stand on the Word. And so you know, I just felt like the Spirit of God was saying to me, tell them, you're doing good. You're doing good. You are dealing with it. You are handling it. And then there's a whole lot of people that can't do half of what you do in life. They really can't. And so you're doing good. You're doing good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I mean, I'm at an age. I don't think of myself as being that old, but I'm 70 years old. But I meet people all the time, and they're just looking at me and say, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, you still do this. I can't do that. You still do this. I can't do that. And I thought, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But it's because you have ears to hear and you keep on hearing. Can you say amen? Say it again. I have ears to hear. And I'm going to keep on hearing. And I'm going to keep on hearing. I'm hungry for the truth. I attentively pay attention. I live by the truth. I believe the truth. And it makes all the difference in every aspect of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, lift both hands to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's everybody. Praise Him again because He supplies all your need according to His riches and glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you're living by the Word and because you're interested, because you're unselfish, why don't you lift your hand and really shout and praise Him that the needs of this church are abundantly supplied in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise You and thank You for it. We praise You and thank You for it. This church and this school. In Jesus' name, we praise You and we thank You for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And if you're listening online, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. You've got ears to hear, so hear that in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Give me the microphone there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Drunk again, I see. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Mm.
Can't do it.
You can do it.
Okay, you're talking about liberally supply. And I'm standing there, and the Lord says, yeah, we have liberals in this country. And they give liberally, but they're giving of money that's not theirs. They're giving things that are not theirs. They don't even have it. They take yours, and they give liberally. That's what Satan does. He takes what's yours and gives it liberally. But our God, He gives what is His. He's given His only begotten Son for us. He gives liberally. He has supply. He made everything. And He can give everything. He doesn't have a budget. So don't worry about Him. Because He liberally supplies.
Amen.
And He stands behind His giving, His word. We know He Amen. Has it to back it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can back up His authority.
And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous.
Well, that's right. So when you look at them, woo, we are rich in Him. Praise God.
Amen, amen. Kind of reminds you of giving it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, doesn't it? Amen. Kind of reminds you of so shall your barns be filled with plenty, doesn't it? Kind of reminds you of more than enough. Doesn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. How does He say it in Malachi? Pour you out for such a bit, there's not even room enough to receive it. That's overflow. That's plenty. That's more than enough. That's abundance. That's rich. See, a rich measure. How many of you ate a rich cake for Thanksgiving? I mean, it cost a lot of money? No, I mean, it was rich in sugar. Had a lot of sugar in it. An abundance. Hallelujah. Thank you for abundance. God's emphasis. Thank you one more time. Let's thank you for abundance. Not just get by, not just barely get by, but for abundance. We thank you for abundance, 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 abundance. In all areas of our life, abundance, rich supply, more than enough. Hallelujah. Because my God shall liberally supply all of your need according to his riches in glory because of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So as we're dismissed this morning, turn to your neighbor. Now turn to it and say it like you mean it. Say, I have a liberal supply in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. Praise God. Hallelujah. You said your love.